We're going to continue our discussion of what Jesus had to say to Nicodemus. And when I read the statement that Jesus makes, it's the kind of statement that in my life has tended to excite me to a terrible hissy fit.
Uh-oh.
Because Jesus is going to tell Nicodemus that there are some things that he must do. And if you want to get my hackles up, all you have to do is tell me there's something that I must do. And immediately, I get angry. Anybody else do that? Or is it just me? When somebody tells me there's something that I must do, I tend to respond by saying, no, who are you? Who made you the boss of me? My kids would say that all the time. Who made you the boss of me? It all revolved around this statement that Jesus made to Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter at verse 7. You must be born again. Now we'll talk about what it means to be born again, but this morning I just want to think about the must part of this. And you know, there are different ways that things must happen. I was reading through all of this and thought, well, I need to understand the definition of this idea. So I looked at Thayer, and Thayer suggests that there are different legitimate ways that must statements arise. And I just want to think about some of those different ways that must is reasonable. The first way that he suggests is that must statements can sometimes relate to just the nature of the case. It's just the way things are. When man was created in the garden, God looked at what he created and he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And so he made a help who was suitable to the man. A help in the King James, it says, a help who was meet for the man. We need companionship, and we must have it. It's just the nature of the case. Water flows downhill. It's just the nature of water. It must happen that way. The tide comes in, it goes out. And even though Artaxerxes, a Greek king, thought that he was so powerful that he could stand on the side of the seashore and tell the tide not to come in, it was going to come in. Some things just must happen. You think about the ultimate example of that, it's God. God must tell the truth. He must speak true things. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, it's impossible for God to lie. He can't do it. He will never do it. So a must statement can sometimes arise because of just the nature of the thing that we're discussing. Sometimes must statements, and again, this is one of Thayer's suggestions, must statements arise because of the circumstances or the conduct of someone else toward us. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we must defend our family against an aggressor. That can take a lot of forms. I can tell my family to run while I hold off an aggressor. It might be that I would fight an aggressor in order to protect my family. But I must do that. You know, if you're a drowning man, it makes sense to say that you must get in the boat. If you're not going to get in the boat, you'll drown. The fact that you're not in the boat is not what caused you to drown. What caused you to drown is the circumstance that you found yourself in. You are in water that's over your head and you don't know how to swim. You must get in the boat. The circumstance is overwhelming. And that circumstance ultimately will cause you to be lost. So sometimes you must do something because of the circumstance that you find yourself in. Or sometimes because of the activity of other people. You have to respond. Sometimes must statements make sense because something is necessary on our part in order to attain some end, something that we want. This is not like finding yourself in the water and you're about to drown. This is trying to get something into your life. And getting things into our life is not a bad thing. I want to achieve some goal, and therefore, I must do something. I would like to get an A in the course that I'm taking right now, so I must study. I would like to have enough money to be able to go to a play downtown. I must find a way to save enough money that I can buy those tickets. And they're, goodness only knows, they're expensive anymore, $100 to go to a play. You want to take your girlfriend with you. You want to take your wife with you. You want to take your whole family with you. But because you want to attain some goal, you must do something. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about how we must work to honorably feed our family. We must work so that we can care for those who have less, who are in need. I must do something because I want to attain a goal. It might be that I want to be a part of God's kingdom. And I think that's a part of what Nicodemus is asking Jesus. He wanted to be a part of God's kingdom. And Jesus explained to him, if you want that goal, then there's some things you must do. Must statements can also arise in terms of a law or a commandment or a duty. And we've just gone through COVID and we're familiar with masking laws, and the law said you have to wear a mask, and so we wore a mask. The law said you have to stay 5 feet apart, so we stayed 5 feet apart. Very interesting to me. The law has changed. We don't have to do it that way anymore. But every time I find myself in a line, it's as if I've been trained. Now I stand 5 feet from the person in front of me. Right? Commands sometimes come from people that have delegated authority. I have delegated to my representatives the right to make laws that I will follow. Sometimes they make laws where I didn't delegate the authority. They just decide they're going to make that law anyway. But sometimes laws come from people who have delegated authority. I have given them the right. Sometimes laws come from people who have inherent authority. And this is the case with God. I don't give God the right to make a law. God has the right to make a law by virtue of the fact that he is God. He is the creator. And the creature can never say to the creator, but wait, I didn't give you the right to tell me that that's the way I ought to do things. That comes from the fact that God is God. In the garden, when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, care for everything in the garden, but do not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden. That wasn't because Adam and Eve said to God, okay, you tell us how to live. It was by virtue of the fact that God had the inherent authority to decide. You know, sometimes the musts that we deal with arise because of the counsel and decree of God, especially his purpose related to salvation. We must do things according to God's plan. That's a plan that was laid out in the Old Testament. And because it was laid out so clearly in the Old Testament, that God had to follow, or Jesus had to follow what was written in the Old Testament. Just an example. It had been written in the Old Testament that Jesus, the Messiah, the one who would come that would redeem man, had to be born of a virgin. So when Jesus was born, he must be born of a virgin. That's because it was the decree of God. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness because of what had been written in the Old Testament about him and what he must do. We think about that in terms of prophecy. None of his bones were to be broken when he made his sacrifice. That was a must. And none of his bones were broken. They must part lots for his garments. And that's the way it happened. But it happened that way because of prophecy. And then finally, there are some things that were destined by God that must happen. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. That has always been God's plan. It existed in the Old Testament as early as the third and fourth chapters of the book of Genesis. It was repeated over and over again in the Old Testament. It was repeated in the law that was given specifically to the Jews. You must shed blood to forgive sin. Jesus couldn't have forgiven sin without the shedding of blood. He had to die. There can be no crown without the cross. As much as I don't like to say that Jesus must go to the cross, it's something that's true. And I have to accept it. You know, Peter, when Jesus talked about how that he was going to die, And he talked about being crucified. Peter's response was, that won't happen. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. That didn't come from God. This must idea, that I must die. It's reasonable. It must be that way. And if Jesus had to die, if God cannot lie, if the nature of things sometimes demands a must statement, then Jesus' must statement to Nicodemus makes sense. If you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to be a part of my family, if you want to have the forgiveness of sins, you must be born of water and the Spirit. There's no other way that that can happen. You must. Now, I may not like it. It may be that part of me says, who made you the boss of me? Just remember, that arises because of God's inherent authority, not because you said he could. But we'll continue this discussion in the future. We'll talk about what it means to be born of water and the Spirit. At this point, we know that it's something that we must do, and it cannot be escaped. If you know what it means to be born of water and of the Spirit, like Ben, if you know what it means to be baptized, we want to help you to do that. We'll find a place where we can baptize you today, if that's your desire. If you have sinned against God, you must return. And Christians have as much problem with sin as anybody else. It may be that having been born of water and of the Spirit, you lost track of where you were going. You need to return to God. Now, the must statement in that is, it's an ellipse. It means it's unstated. You know, James said, confess your faults one for another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. That's doing something to accomplish a goal, to attain an end. It's a must statement. It just doesn't say must. We want you to think about it.